everyone. 381 we'll sing together this evening as we commence our prayer meeting. 381, you'll find it on the page 330. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings and name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Let's stand to our feet and we'll sing together the hymn 381.
When upon its billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done.
Prayer together and seek the Lord for once again his help this evening as we're found in his house. Our Father and our God in heaven, we bow before thee, and in through that almighty and that wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we thank and praise thee, O God, for the one at thy right hand. We thank thee for all of the blessings that we have in Christ and all of the blessings that we enjoy because of Christ. We thank thee this night for each one that is saved, each one that has been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. The storehouses of heaven are open to us. And we thank thee, O God, that daily that thou dost load us with benefits. Lord, we truly admit, even as we've just been singing, that if we name the blessings, if we count them one by one, oh God, it will surprise us what the Lord has done for us and what the Lord even continues to do. We thank thee for this day. We thank thee, O God, that we have known the help and the hand of the Lord even in it. Lord, thou hast been gracious and merciful to us. And we do rejoice in thy blessing, Lord, even in the good weather and all of the benefits, Lord, that it brings even to each one. And Lord, we thank thee for the clothes upon the back. We thank thee for the food on the table, the breath in our lungs, O God, the soundness of mind, the ability to be up and to be about. And Lord, we just rejoice in all of thy goodness towards us. We praise thee. We raise our Ebenezers to thee. And we do say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And Lord, we look to thee even tonight. Lord, that thou wilt be that help, that thou wilt be that portion and that blessing once again to each one of us, thy children, as we're found in thy house. Remember us this night for good. Even now as we come around thy word, we thank thee, Lord, that we have thy precious word to turn to. We have thy precious word to teach us, to instruct us, O God, to lead us, to guide us. We thank thee that it is the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. And Lord, we do ask thee that once again this night, that as we spend moments in thy word together, that we will know the speaking voice of God to our hearts. And then as we have our season of prayer, Lord, that thou wilt lead us and that thou wilt guide us. We thank thee for the great weapon that thou hast given to us, the access and the might even of prayer that there is. We thank thee that we come to thee and we pray unto thee, knowing that the one at thy right hand presents our prayers perfectly unto the Father. Lord, remember us for good. Encourage us in the place of prayer tonight. Even as we have that season together, oh Father, may we know the help of the Lord. May we know thy presence right from this moment. Oh God, right to the end of the meeting tonight, may we know that the Lord is here and not to bless us. Be with us and undertake. Remember those online as well. Lord, remember those that will watch at a later time. Thou knowest every need of every heart. Lord, we pray that thou wilt meet it. We pray, O God, that thou wilt be gracious and merciful to each of thy children in these days, and to each family in this church. Lord, that thou wilt pour out thy Spirit upon them, that thou wilt lead them and guide them, that thou, O God, wilt be undertaking in those that have particular needs as well. Lord, be near to them. May they know thy presence. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're turning again to the book of Joshua this week, and to Joshua 15. We welcome each one in the Saviour's name. We do pray that the Lord will bless us as we're found in his house this evening. It's been a beautiful day, and it's been lovely to look out at it. That's about the height as I've seen it. We're our nieces down, and between them and the boys, you constantly knew they were outside. But it was lovely just to look out at it and know that they could be outside when we were inside. But we thank the Lord even for his blessings, and may we know the blessing of the Lord even afresh this evening. Joshua 15, the verse 13, I want to begin at and just read down to the end of verse 19. Joshua, and the chapter 15, the verse 13, the word of God says, unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. And he went up from thence to the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath Sefer. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath Sefer, and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksa, his daughter, to wife. It came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, what wouldest thou? He answered, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a southland. Give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening. I want to come back and look at Caleb tonight, again as we did last week, and this evening we have entitled it Caleb, the Bestower of Blessings. Caleb, the Bestower of Blessings. Just a moment's prayer as we ask the Lord for his blessing. Father in heaven, we bow before thee, and Lord, we ask thee that even now, in these moments around thy word, that thou wilt come, and thou wilt still our hearts, that thou wilt still our minds, and Lord, that thou wilt teach us and encourage us from thy word. Father, we long even for that encouragement as we will come to the place of prayer. We ask thee that it will be given tonight, that even through the preaching of thy word, that thou wilt stir hearts and, O God, give that desire to lift voices in the place of prayer. Lord, undertake for every need there is. And even now I confess the need of the Holy Spirit. We pray for that fresh infilling, that fresh empowering, even upon me. Give me the words, O God, to say. Give me the clarity of mind. And give me that power that only thou canst give. Hear and answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, last week we were also looking at Caleb, and last week we looked together at Caleb's life prayer. That desire that he had upon his mind and his heart, that desire that was placed there by Almighty God, a desire which was there for a total of 45 years. From that moment, whenever he was sent out as one of the 12 spies, that moment that he had climbed and stood upon the mountain of Hebron, that burning ambition to possess it, and to rid the enemy of it had never left him. Even in those wandering years, it had lasted the 40 years, and even in the intense battle years, which had filled another 5, his prayer was still for Hebron. His desire was, Lord, give me this mountain. We noted even last week how he came afresh to Joshua. At that time, whenever the land was being divided amongst the tribes, and he didn't simply stand back and wait for the lot to fall. Rather, he stepped, as it were, out on the promise of God, and he stepped forth even before Joshua, and he asked him, I pray thee, give me this mountain. Here he came. Here he was at the tender age of 85 with as much hunger as ever before to go in to possess that great mountain of Hebron. He had stood before Joshua. And that petition which he gave, it was a petition which was founded on both the will of God and indeed the word of God. And the response of Joshua had been positive. For he had said in Joshua 14, verse 13, that Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Joshua did not stand in his way. And what a blessing it is whenever that we come to the Lord with our petitions. And we know that the prayers that we offer up, we know that those prayers are in accordance not only with God's word, but even with God's will. What an encouragement, even as you come around the place of prayer, when you read the words of 1 John 5 and the verse 14 and 15, which says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And certainly that can be said of Caleb when he came with that petition to Joshua. It was a prayer that he had offered to the Lord based on the fact that he knew it was God's will. And so whenever it came to the moment to ascend that mountain, then we have then the great victory that he wrought upon the mountain of Hebron. You know, we looked then last week and we brought that message to a close. As he was given that permission, he was given that blessing to go and to possess that mountain for his inheritance. But it's interesting because that's not the end of Caleb. And those verses that we read tonight from Joshua 15, it's noteworthy that they are exactly the same, almost to the word, that will be found in the book of Judges in the chapter 1 and the verses 10 to 15. And this account, you think of Caleb and you think of the great man of God that he was. And yet the verses we read this evening in relation to Othniel, in relation to the springs, the Holy Spirit does not just have them recorded once in Scripture. He brings them to us a second time as well. You see, the blessings that are there both for Caleb and the blessings that Caleb then bestows upon others are certainly very special indeed. And those blessings that Caleb brought to his daughter and brought to his son-in-law are blessings that we ought to be longing for and looking for in our day. There are three things I want to leave with you, even from the blessings that Caleb brings. Firstly, we want to consider together the verses 13 to 15, the battle that had to be faced, the battle that had to be faced. It tells us in that verse that whenever he came, he took that land, he took the city and the mountain of Hebron. And then the verse 14 tells us that Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak. And then he went up against the inhabitants of Debir in the verse 15. You know, just because God decreed it, and just because Joshua had permitted it, did not mean that Caleb simply walked up the mountain and was handed the keys to the city. You know, so often in our prayers, we ask the Lord for the blessing. We ask the Lord to pour out His Spirit and to work and to do a great work for us. And then very easily it can be for some individuals just then to stand back and just to do nothing. We simply pray and then we expect everything to come gift-wrapped for us. Now certainly there are times when that does happen. I'm not disputing that there are times whenever you ask the Lord for a blessing, you ask the Lord for a very particular petition, and the Lord does it without anything to do with us. No human involvement at all. We can see that in the Israelites. Whenever the Israelites were in the wilderness years, they went out in the morning and the food was there for them. They didn't have to sow, they didn't have to reap. All of the manna had fallen from the sky, the quails and the water came from the rock. All of it was provided without the human involvement. But then when you think of the inheritance for the Israelites, they actually had to go into the land that God had promised them, and they had to possess it. They had to spend 5 years in battle getting that which the Lord had for them. You know, there are times in the Christian life when God brings the blessings to us. But there are many times whenever we must put feet to our prayers. There are many times whenever we pray those petitions and then the Lord looks for our efforts to be made. He looks for us to go that extra mile for Him. Not simply, Lord, bring in families, but Lord, I'll go out and invite families. Now, that is a prayer that is upon all of our hearts. We pray for individuals to come in. We pray for families to be brought into this church fellowship. And it is a prayer that we offer up time and again. Let me ask the question respectfully. When was the last time not only that you prayed for a family to come in, but when was the last time you invited a family to come in? When was the last time that you put the feet, as it were, to the prayers? When was the last time that you went and actually said to someone, knocked, maybe your neighbor or your friend, and says, look, meetings are coming up again this Sunday. I'd love you to come. I'll pick you up. When did you go the extra mile? Caleb was given a mountain. But upon that mountain, even as we mentioned last week, there were giants to face. The Anakans are the sons of Anak. And the three sons that are mentioned here are Sheshai, Heman, and Talmai. Three giants in themselves. Not only was their father a great giant, Arba was known in the land as being one of the fiercest and the greatest of all warriors. He was a giant of a man, and yet his three sons were equally as tall, equally as strong, and equally as big an obstacle to take on. Caleb went against all three of them. He didn't just stand back and say, I have been promised this mountain by God, and Joshua has given me his blessing. Get out of my city. He fought them. And he contended against them. Remember, this is a man who's stepping forward in faith. This is a man of 85 who's believing that God has delivered this land and this mountain into his hand. And it's wonderful whenever you see it, because not only does he step forward in faith, but then the Lord blesses him and enables him to do that which is needed to be done. Verse 14 tells us he drove thence the three sons of Anak. Now, such was the spirit of God upon Caleb, such was the courage that he showed, even the giants couldn't stand against him. Now you think of that. an 85-year-old warrior coming towards you of normal height and stature. And three giants of men are standing in the gates of their city. And such is the power of God upon that one individual. Such is that impression even against or by Caleb to the giants that they fled from his sight. They wouldn't stand against him. They couldn't stand against him. Judges 1 to verse 10, it tells us not only that they were driven from his sight, but it tells us there in Judges 1 and 10 that all three of them were put to the sword. They were slew. What a victory. Caleb and his men put the enemy to flight, and then they chased him and they killed him. You see the power of God? You see the importance of believing in our God? Whenever you come to the place of prayer and you come to the Christian work, that we believe that our God is all-powerful. That we have that confidence that regardless of the size of the giant that we are coming against, regardless of the power and the effort and all of the defenses that that giant and that enemy may have, yet in the face of God and before God, they cannot stand. And they will be put to flight. I think of the words going back to 1 John 5 again. In the verse number 4 and 5, it says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Do you see the power of God that there is for the believer? The power of the gospel. My man may think it foolishness. The Jews may think it's a stumbling block. The Greeks may think it's foolishness. But yet the power of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the power of God unto salvation, and not one can stand against it. That which seemed impossible to the 10 spies, you remember those 10, they went into the land of Canaan. They saw the giants of Anak. And those 10 spies came back saying, "No, we can't do it. We're grasshoppers." And their doubt and their feebleness and their feeble-mindedness spread even amongst the rest of the Israelite people. And so none of them, apart from Moses, Aaron, Caleb, and Joshua, only 4 out of all of the Israelites believed that they could do it in the power of God. "Now, which seemed impossible to all of the Israelites, God by his Spirit and by his power enabled an 85-year-old man to accomplish." See, always remember, child of God, as you come to pray, Matthew 19:26, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Never diminish God to a small g. Never diminish his power to a small p. God is infinite. God is all powerful. What may seem impossible to us is still possible with him. And you know, it's interesting because the battle didn't stop there for Caleb. I believe what you have in the verse 15 is a wonderful testimony of the man and his desire to serve the Lord and to encourage and to bless others. Because verse 15, even after he's put the 3 sons of Anak, chased them and put them to the sword, and he has now his inheritance. He has now his home. He has now his mountain of Hebron. And yet, what does it tell us in the verse 15? "He went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir." The name of Debir before that was Kirjath-Sethar. 45 years of longing. 45 years of praying to the Lord. "Lord, give me this mountain." And his one desire in life, his one longing and prayer in life was, "Lord, I want the mountain of Hebron." And now Hebron is his. Now the enemy is defeated. And instead of just sitting back and going, "The Lord's answered my prayer. Amen." He leaves it to go and help others. He doesn't just sit back in Hebron and say, right, I have my city. I'm just going to enjoy the rest of my days rejoicing that God has answered my prayer. He looks around. He sees his brothers and his sisters. He sees those that still need a home. He sees those that have not yet received their inheritance and their blessing. And so what does he do? He says, I'm coming to help you. I'm going to leave that which the Lord has blessed me with for a time, and I'm going to come to make sure that you have a blessing, that you have an inheritance, that you have somewhere that is your own. See, he's a fellow laborer, isn't he? He's a fellow warrior. And how important it is, child of God, even when God answers our prayers. And it comes to the point in all of those prayers, those burdens that have been upon our heart, maybe for loved ones, and you prayed year after year, and you've prayed long and you've prayed hard, and you see that blessing, you see that answer to your prayer eventually. How important it is, therefore, then, that you do not forget the battlefield. That you do not quit. That you do not say, well, God has answered my prayer, so no longer do I need to go to a prayer meeting. How important it is that you look around and you see my brothers, my sisters still have to get theirs. I'm going to battle on at their side. I'm going to be there to encourage them. I'm going to be there to fight alongside of them, not to fight with them in terms of one against the other, but to fight with them in the battle against the enemy. I'm going to be their fellow laborer. That's what Caleb did. He saw it even at that age that he was, and even though he had now received that which the Lord had for him, yet he's there. And he's longing, I want to encourage and to help others. You know, when I look at Caleb, I can't help but think of the wonderful picture of Christ. I think of the prayers of Christ for his inheritance. I think of the high priestly prayer. And how even before he went to the cross, in John 17, he's praying about those of his people that are in the world. The Father would keep. The Father would watch over them. Those that were chosen to be his bride. And of course, you think of Christ's bride, you think of his church. Certainly Christ did not sit back and just expect them to be handed to him. The captain of the host entered into the most intense battle ever faced against the greatest giants of this world. He went up against the devil. He went up against all of the forces of hell. He went up against death itself. And we know he was victorious. We know that he rose from the dead, having died for our sins. He rose from the dead. And we know that he's exalted on high. And yet, in the aftermath of his victory on the cross and his victory over death, what did he say to his apostles? He says, lo, I am with you always. He didn't simply return to heaven and say, I am going to enjoy the exaltation of all of the heavenly host. And I've now received, and I'm going to receive that which the Father has for me. He says to the apostles still here on earth contending for the gospel, he says, I'm with you all the way, even to the ends of the earth. The blessings that were in battle. Then I want you to see, secondly, the verses 16 and 17. Caleb's next blessing was the bride. The bride. Because Caleb says, he that smiteth Kirjath-Sefer and taketh it, to him I will give Aksah, my daughter, to wife. You know, that place of Deborah or Deber was actually a city that had been defeated before. It was one of the few cities that had to be defeated twice during the same campaign. First time it was defeated, you'll find it in Joshua 10 and verse 39. Joshua had liberated it. But when he moved his armies on, the Canaanites simply came back in and repossessed it. Now that's a lesson to us all, isn't it? Not to give up the advancements. Whenever the Lord gives us the increase, whenever we extend our land and we extend the blessings of the Lord, we simply then don't turn our back on that which the Lord has already given. We hold on to all that the Lord has given and we look for more. Because if we simply move out and leave behind, you can guarantee the devil will come back in and possess. That's what happened in Debir. Even though Joshua had defeated it, yet Caleb had to defeat it all over again. And Caleb there, he's with those men. And remember, he is not fighting. Debir is not his inheritance. Debir is not the blessing of the Lord to him. Debir is not the home that he is longing for. And yet when he comes to Debir, what does he say to them? He says, "Him that smiteth Kirjath-Sefer and taketh it, to him I will give Aksa, my daughter." You know, that place of Kirjath-Sefer, a very particular and a very important place. It was the Canaan land equivalent of the New Testament Athens. It was a seat of learning and education. It was a place of books. Whenever he makes that declaration, we read Othniel, the nephew of Caleb, rises to the challenge. This is when Othniel starts to come to the fore. Now it is widely accepted by all of the commentators that Othniel had a previous interest in Aksa. He had taken note of her, shall we say, before this. It was one that he had set his heart upon. But he had never moved to make her his wife before this occasion. And Caleb knew about it. Caleb knew that Othniel had an interest in his daughter. And he also knew the valor and he knew the fighting prowess of Othniel. And so what you have here in offering up his daughter to be the bride, Caleb is encouraging Othniel to rise to the challenge. To not simply sit back, to not simply just be in terms of just be another soldier, but rather to come to the fore, to use the talents, to use the strengths that the Lord has blessed him with. You see, Caleb's not simply disposing of his daughter to anyone. Remember, Caleb is a man who wholly follows after the Lord. So if he wholly follows after the Lord, he's not going to treat his family as possessions. He's not going to treat his daughter as if she is someone that can be bought and sold and done away with at his desire. He desired the best for her. He desired the best for his nephew and indeed for all of the people as a whole. That's why he fought with them. That's why even at this very moment he was willing to encourage them and to bless Othniel by bringing forth his daughter. So he does what he can to encourage. He does what he can to be a blessing to each one of them in the battlefield that day. We see that clearly even in the following verses. For because of Caleb standing forth, not only fighting, but even giving this encouragement and declaring, "I will give my daughter to wife to the one who smites Kirjath-Sefer," what you have then is people being blessed with victory, his daughter being blessed with a husband, and Othniel being blessed with a wife. And certainly you study into the verses, both of them are happy with that arrangement. Because when you come to the verse in number 18, you see even there the discourse and that which is being discussed between both parties. And even how they come and not only interact with each other, but even how they interact with Caleb. But you know, we see also not only just in that in the overview, but we see how much this was a blessing to Othniel in particular. both in his physical life and in his spiritual walk. This is the first time that we ever hear of Othniel, but it's not the last. Certainly he starts well. He's just starting, as it were, to come to the fore. He's just there in the battlefield, and he's been there as a faithful soldier, and now he's coming, as it were, through the ranks in the army. And there's the blessing, there's the encouragement of Caleb, and he's really spurring him, and he's challenging him, and he's striving even to bring him to the fore, and he's bringing him to that stepping stone, right, come this way, do this battle, win this victory, and there, and you'll grow, and you'll grow, and you'll grow. Because he starts with one battle. He starts with one victory. Where does it end up for Othniel? Judges 3 and verse 9. When the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. Othniel would be the first of the judges. He would be the first permanent leader after Joshua. How did it all start for Othniel? At the side of Caleb. Watching Caleb. Listening to Caleb. Obeying Caleb. Heeding Caleb's words. Taking that encouragement. Going into battle. All because of Caleb. He would become the great leader and the great judge, even to overthrow the enemy and to preserve the people. You know how important it is to encourage and seek to be a blessing to the next generation, to spur them on to even give themselves completely to the Lord. How important it is even to encourage our children and the young people to give themselves completely to the place of prayer, to show them and to encourage them even the importance of the place of prayer, the practice of prayer, the place of the prayer meeting, the practice in the prayer meeting, and even to give themselves to the work to say, young person, come on, let's get involved together. Go in, possess. Caleb never knew what Othniel would become. None of us have any idea what the next generation of young Christians will become, or how the Lord can use them. I think of Barnabas whenever Barnabas first came into contact with Saul. It was Barnabas that put his arm around him when he came to Jerusalem. It was Barnabas that spoke up for him. Barnabas had brought him into the family, as it were, of the church. It was Barnabas then that sent him to Tarshish. It was then Barnabas who went to Tarshish to then bring Paul to Antioch. Look how it ended up for Paul, the providence of God. Look as well at Timothy. It was Paul that took Timothy. What did Timothy start out as? He was a dog's body, as it were, bringing and carrying and caring for their logistic needs along the missionary journeys. He was there to support Paul and Silas in that second missionary journey. Look where it ended up for Timothy, a minister of the gospel. All because of the encouragement and the support and bringing them along. Keeping their eyes even upon the Lord. Caleb offered his daughter as a bride, and the Lord blessed him. And in turn, the Lord made Caleb that blessing to others. Caleb would bless Othniel with the wife and Aksa with the husband. He blessed them both with land to live on. And unbeknown to him at that time, he was used by God to bring blessing to the future Israelites, by bringing Othniel to where he needed to be for the Lord and for Israel. One final blessing I want to highlight to you. The wonderful verses of 18 and 19. The bounty that Caleb gave. know, there in those verses it tells us that whenever it came to pass that she came unto him, she moved him to ask if her father had failed. Then she lighted off the ass. Caleb said unto her, "What wouldst thou?" She answered, "Give me a blessing." You know, Aksa and Othniel had one final request to ask of their father, Caleb. I kind of smiled to myself whenever I read it, because here you have them coming together, their husband and wife. And they're coming to Caleb and they're both arguing about who should ask for it. Othniel doesn't want to ask the father-in-law. Maybe a bit scared of him still. And so it is the role, and Aksa is the one who steps forward. One final request to ask of their father, Caleb. And certainly, they're not complaining in terms of how kind or how gracious Caleb had been up to this point. But they come with that one final request. Give me a blessing. Give me also springs of water. Now, this particular interaction is a wonderful parallel of coming before our Heavenly Father. Because we see that whenever she comes to where her father is, that she lighted off her ass in terms of the donkey. She comes down before her father. That's a signal, that's a sign of respect. Whenever Rebekah came and saw Isaac for the first time, she was being brought home to be Isaac's wife. Whenever she saw Isaac, she immediately got down off the animal that she was riding on. Sign of respect. And Caleb knows she's coming with the request because he immediately asks her, he says, "What wouldst thou?" In other words, what do you need? What do you want? She proceeds to make her request. And in the midst of making the request, she also acknowledges his faithfulness, his faithful giving. Because she says, "Thou hast given me a south land." In other words, Father, you've already been gracious to us. You've already been kind to us. There's certainly no complaint over the size of the land. There's no complaint over the land or the benefit that it will be to them as a couple. She comes with that one request, "Father, we need water." It's one thing to have possession and inheritance from the Father, but she acknowledges we also need nourishment. She asks for springs to feed the land, to nourish the people and the animals. As I said, in her petition, there's great honor, and there's also the great humility in how she presents herself. But within Caleb, within his answer, there's a great and bountiful blessing. You see, she comes and she asks, she says, "Give me also springs of water." In other words, "Father, if you just give us one set, I just need a set of springs." In other words, a couple of wells or natural flowing water coming up out of the ground. "I just need a set of springs, and then I'll be able to flood and I'll be able to feed all of the land and to nourish it. Father, if you just give me one set." He says, "No, I'll give you two. I'll give you both the upper springs and the nether springs." In other words, the lower springs. He could have just gave one. One would have been plenty. But in his great love and in his great mercy, in the great kindness of Caleb as a father, he gives them both. Isn't that the realization of the blessings of God for his people? Whenever God blesses, he doesn't simply fill our cup. Rather, the cup runneth over. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. Aksa and Othniel, they were coming hoping for one set of springs, and yet what happens? They leave, and there's springs in the higher region, and there's springs in the lower region. Everything is blessed and given to them. Everything is there that will meet their need, an extra. You imagine as they left Caleb that day. No doubt, as they came, they thought to themselves, "Hopefully, Father will give us one set. If we have once said we're set up for life, we'll have everything we need. Yet they're leaving, and there's a set in the higher ground, and there's a set in the lower ground. So often we come before the Lord and we say, Lord, just give us this one blessing. Lord, if you could just meet this one need. Yet the Lord says, no, I'll meet that need, but I'll also bless you with this. On one occasion, Caesar Augustus, whenever he was the ruler of all of the Roman Empire, he came and there was a man who was greatly loyal to him. Caesar Augustus bestowed upon him a very handsome and a very princely gift. The recipient was so overcome with the size of the gift, he exclaimed to Caesar Augustus, he says, this is too great a gift for me to receive. Caesar Augustus simply looked at him and said, yes, but it's not too great a gift for me to give. Child of God, yes, there's only so much we can receive from the Lord. But that's nothing compared to how much the Lord can give. The storehouses in heaven are there for the children of God. The Lord's the one who purchased them. The Lord's the one that opens them. The Lord's the one that deals out of them. Yes, we might come and bring small petitions. But oh, that we would come and rejoice in all that the Lord can give us and does give us. Oh, that we would come to our Father in heaven, even as Axa came to her father on earth. She came in the honor, she came in humility. Give me the springs, give me the blessing. Caleb says, take both. Take the higher, take the lower. It's all for you. Oh, may we come before the Lord tonight with honor, with respect, humility. May we come seeking the blessings. And by His will and by His grace, may we receive them. May He give us more than we can ask or even think. May the Lord bless His word.